car.
Cheerful faces.
Prochu.
Said.
Harsha.
Gladdened.
Gadgadiya.
Ecstatic.
Gira.
Speeches.
Pitaram.
Unto the Father.
Sava.
All.
Suhridam.
Friends.
Avitaram.
The Guardian.
Eva.
Like.
Arbaka.
Wards.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The citizens arrive before the Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient One, who, by His own potency, incessantly supplies others. These presentations were like the offering of a lamp to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the Lord, just as wards welcome their guardian and father. Translation responsibly. The citizens arrive before the Lord. With their respective presentations. Offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient One. Who by His own potency. Incessantly supplies others. These presentations were like the offering of a lamp to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language. To receive the Lord. Just as wards welcome their guardian and father. Purport. The Supreme Lord Krishna is described herein as Atmarama. He is self-sufficient, and there is no need for him to seek happiness from anything beyond himself. He is self-sufficient because his very transcendental existence is total bliss. He is eternally existent. He is all-cognizant and all-blissful. Therefore, any presentation, however valuable it may be, is not needed by him. But still, because he is the well-wisher for one and all, he accepts from everyone everything that is offered to him in pure devotional service. It is not that he is in want for such things, because the things themselves are generated from his energy. The comparison is made herein that making offerings to the Lord is something like offering a lamp in the worship of the Son of God. Anything fiery and illuminating is but an emanation of the energy of the sun. And yet to worship the sun god, it is necessary to offer him a lamp. In the worship of the sun, there is some sort of demand made by the worshipper. But in the case of devotional service to the Lord, there is no question of demand from either side. It is all a sign of pure love and affection between the Lord and the devotee. The Lord is the Supreme Father of all living beings, and therefore, those who are conscious of this vital relation with God can make filial demands from the Father, and the Father is pleased to supply the demands of such obedient sons without bargaining. The Lord is just like the desire tree, and from Him everyone can have everything by the causeless mercy of the Lord. As the Supreme Father, the Lord, however, does not supply to a pure devotee what is considered to be a barrier to the discharge of devotional service. Those who are engaged in devotional service to the Lord, of the Lord, can rise to the position of unalloyed devotional service by His transcendental attraction. Omagyan timadandashya ginanjana shalakaya chakshuru nilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha pititanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Rama Hare Hare. So recently I was up at New Govardhan, and we have a farm community up there, a very nice farm. Has anyone been there? New Govardhan? Hands up if you've been there. Okay, then you should go. If you haven't been, you should go. It's a very beautiful spot. My spiritual master actually says it's the best farm in ISKCON in terms of its location and its environment. It's a very beautiful place, most beautiful place in Australia, practically.
Near
to Brisbane, Byron Bay, up near north, the top of New South Wales, just from Queensland you come down. So a very beautiful place. So Srila Prabhupada said that the holy dharmas, like New Govardhan, New Nandagram, New Varshana, these places, then they should become replicas of the original dharmas in the spiritual world. So that was the idea that Prabhupada had. When Prabhupada established the first farm in ISKCON, what was that farm called? New Brindavan. Yeah, where is that one?
West Virginia,
yeah, in America. And when Prabhupada established that one in 1967, from the very beginning of our movement, Prabhupada established the farming communities. And he wanted them to be like the spiritual world, replicas of the original dharmas. So New Brindavan, he actually instructed Kirtananda Maharaj to build seven temples, like the seven original temples in Vrindavan. Radha Damodar, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Raman, Radha Shamasundara, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Gopinath, Radha Govinda. So Prabhupada said there should be these seven temples there, just like there is in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan you can actually go to those seven temples and take darshan. I remember my spiritual master, he was there in the 1970s. Prabhupada asked him to stay there in the 1970s when they were first developing Krishna Balaram Mandir. And they were staying at one point in time down at the Radha Damodar temple, where Prabhupada's rooms are, before he came to the West. And Tamal Krishnamurti said that the midday aarti, because they all have the aartis at the same time in the seven temples, he said they used to try to go to all seven temples. Aarti. So they go to like Radha Damodar, Radha Shyamasundara, then go around to Radha Gokulananda, Radha Raman. Actually, I don't know how they did it, because Radha Madhavan is right over on that side, and Gopinath and Govinda are right over on that side. So I don't know if it's actually possible to get to all seven, but they used to try to get to as many as possible like that. So Prabhupada would point out that quite often the devotees in Vrindavan, they will go to all of the seven major temples in one day like that. So Prabhupada said for New Vrindavan, he said that we should establish the seven main temples, seven temples on the one farm. And devotees can go to each temple. You can go to Radha Damodar, you can go to Radha Raman, you can go to Radha Gokulananda, you can go to Radha Shyamasundara, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan. You can go and visit all the different temples, just like in Vrindavan. When we go to Vrindavan, we like to visit all the seven major temples, something like that. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that the his farming communities become replicas of the holy dharma. So I was just up at New Govardhan a few weeks ago, and when my spiritual master was there for the last time, I think in 2001, he gave a class, and he said to the devotees there, he said that this should be the meditation of the devotees living on the farming communities. They should meditate that this is Govardhan, non-different from Govardhan. And he said you should establish all the different holy places of Govardhan, and he ordered the Goswamis to excavate them. And now we have Radhakund and Shyamakund as they are. And Manasi Ganga is there. So he's taken Manasiganga water and he's put Manasiganga water into the lake, which is Manasiganga. So that's now non-different from Manasiganga. You can take bath in there also. I remember when we used to have when I first joined the movement in 1989, we used to have an Australasian festival after the Christmas marathon every year. And all the devotees in Australia would go to New Govardhan and we'd have a big festival. It was ecstatic. You know, we all used to be like one. Now the yatra is so big, you know, Melbourne's so big, you know. We have Snan Yatra straight after the marathon. Sydney has, I think, a Ratha Yatra. New Govardhan has a Ratha Yatra. So it's so big now, everyone's spread out. So we don't know all the devotees from all the temples. But back then, we used to all know each other. We used to all come once a year together, and we used to have ecstatic kirtans. And then we used to have, it was quite ecstatic. I was young at the time, so it was very nice. We used to have wrestling matches. There was a bridge which goes over what we now call Manasiganga. It's like a bridge. It's been dismantled now. But we used to have wrestling matches, and all the brahmacharis would come. We'd all wrestle and throw each other into the water. And we'd have Victoria versus New South Wales and Queensland. And yeah, 10 of us would come from each side, and then we'd push each other into the water. A lot of fun. It was very ecstatic. And now, that water is non different from Manasiganga. So if you actually go in that water, take bath, then you get purified. So we were traveling around doing this parikram. It took about 2 hours, and Mahamantra Guru was taking us around, stopping at all the places. And as we stopped at each place, he would tell a little bit of the pastime. This is what happened at this place. This is what happened at this place. This is the Manikandala cave where Radha and Krishna used to enter into. This is Apsara Kund. This is the Nrisinga temple. All the different pastimes. So then we got to the temple of Natchi, because the original deity, or one of the original deities of Govardhan Hill, was Sri Natchi, who, if you read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that Natchi was rediscovered by Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was staying at Govardhan Hill, at Govindapuram, and in a dream, he had a dream, and a little boy came to him. Actually, when he was awake, he was chanting. A little boy came to him and he said, "Baba," and he said, "You're fasting." He said, "No one in this village should go hungry. In my village, no one goes hungry. So I brought you a pot of milk. So you take this milk, you drink it. Later on, I'll come back and I'll get the pot." So Baba, Madhavendra Puri, he was very surprised. You know, who is this charming little boy, this beautiful little boy? So captivating, so charming. And he came and he gave me this milk. How did he know I was fasting? And he said, "How did you know I was fasting?" And he said, "Oh, the ladies in the village, they told me you are fasting. So they asked me to bring you this milk." So then he drank the milk. The boy went away. And he kept chanting. But he just kept thinking about this little boy. He thought, who is this charming little boy? And then he drifted off and he fell asleep. And in his dream, that little boy came. And he said, "Baba," he said, "I am buried in the earth here, very close by. They've buried me in the earth. The Pujaris buried me in the earth when the Muslims were attacking and they were smashing the temples and the deities. To protect me, they buried me in the earth. But I've been forgotten. I've been left here. Please bring me out. I'm very hot." So then, Madhavendra Puri, he woke up and he got the locals, and all the locals came and they excavated in this particular place and they discovered the deity of Natchi. And then they built a temple on top of Govardhan Hill, and he was installed, and he was worshipped there. And there was a wonderful Anukut ceremony to establish him there. But then, once again, because the Muslims were causing problems, they moved Natchi to Gujarat, and now he's in, what's the name of the town?
Nathdwara.
Yeah, he's in Nathdwara. So he's in a very famous, there's a very famous deity. This is the deity of Madhavendra Puri, who was discovered. And now he's worshipped by the Ballabha Sampradaya. And Srila Prabhupada pointed out, he said one time, he said, actually he's a Gaudiya deity, because he was discovered by Madhavendra Puri in the Gaudiya in our Sampradaya. He's actually our deity, technically, in our Sampradaya. But Prabhupada said, because the Ballabha Sampradaya is worshipping him so nicely, he said, we will not challenge them, because they're looking after him so nicely, so they can keep him. Like that, they're worshipping him very beautifully. So if you go to Natchi, Nathdwara in Gujarat, you can see this very beautiful deity. So when we were there, we were doing this Govardhan parikram up at New Govardhan, and we got to this place where Natchi is and will be. They'll establish like a base relief of Natchi there at that place. Then we sang one song, Venugopal Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples, who's also been at New Govardhan for 30 years or so. He, on the harmonium, he sang one song by Balabhacharya, Maduram, 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 Maduram. Like, it says everything about Krishna is sweet. And it says in that very beautiful song, it says that Krishna's eyes are sweet. Krishna's smile is sweet. Krishna's face is sweet. Krishna's lotus feet are sweet. Krishna's dhoti is sweet. It says everything. And then at the end of each shloka, it says, everything about the Lord of sweetness is sweet. So Krishna is the Lord of sweetness. He is Madhupati or Madhusudan. He is the Lord of sweetness. Everything about Krishna is sweet. And the Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam is sweet. So Prabhupada said, just like if you get an apple and the apple is very ripe and juicy, have you ever had a very delicious apple? Hard to get these days. The ones they sell in the supermarket, they're not always so good. Veda Puri and I went for a holiday down to Tasmania, maybe 5 or 10 years ago. And at Tasmania, they grow a lot of apples. So we're driving past the apple orchard where they grow all the apples. And I said, that was right next to the road. So I said, stop the car, I'm going to go out and get an apple. And my wife said, you can't do that, they don't belong to us. Like that. And I said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. So I got out of the car and I went over and I just grabbed one of these apples off the tree. And I took the bite out of the apple and it was the most delicious apple I'd ever tasted in my life. You know, sometimes when you get, it's hard to get really good fruit these days because usually the fruit is sent from somewhere far away, and just like the bananas, you know, they pick the bananas when they're green and they send them to us and they're gassed. And so by the time you get them, it's hard to get a really delicious fruit. But if you get a fresh organic fruit straight from the tree, right, it's just incredible. Sometimes you have, like I've had pineapples, which are just amazing. It's hard to get an amazing pineapple these days. But if you've ever had an amazing pineapple, you taste it, it's just like, it's phenomenal. Like that. Or a mango. If you get an amazing mango or a date or so many things like that. So this apple was amazing. So Prabhupada describes that if you get a delicious apple, it doesn't matter which side that you bite it from, it's delicious. You can bite it from here, it's sweet. You bite it from here, it's sweet. You bite it from here, it's sweet. So Krishna is sweet. He is so sweet, he is the Lord of sweetness, that no matter which direction you're approaching from, all you get is sweetness. You get nectar. So the Bhagavatam is like that. So the devotee said to Prabhupada, which book should we read? Which of your books should we read? Prabhupada said, you can read any of the books. You can just pick up any of Prabhupada's books and just open any page and all you get is sweetness. Because the Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is non-different from Lord Chaitanya. Nectar of Devotion is non-different from Srimati Radharani. And Bhagavad Gita is non-different from Krishna. So when you read these books, then you will get unlimited sweetness. So here we're seeing that Krishna is entering into Dwarka. And the pastime is so sweet. All the devotees have come out to receive him. Because he is the all-attractive personality. So in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami, he teaches us that Krishna in Dwarka is perfect. Krishna in Mathura is more perfect. And Krishna in Vrindavan is most perfect. So Krishna is sweet in Dwarka, but he's sweeter in Mathura, and he's the most sweet when he's in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami says, the forest of Vrindavan is the topmost place. But higher than the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill. And then higher than Govardhan Hill is Radha Kund and Shama Kund. So, Krishna is perfect in Vrindavan, but he's more perfect at Govardhan Hill, and he's the most perfect at Radha Kund and Shama Kund. Krishna is unlimitedly sweet, but his sweetness simply increases more and more and more, and more and more of his sweetness is displayed. So here, Krishna goes to Dwarka. Now when Krishna left Vrindavan, Krishna was on earth for how long? 125 years he stayed on earth when he came 5,000 years ago. How long did he stay in Vrindavan for?
10 or 11 years.
Yeah, between 10 and 11 years then he stayed in Vrindavan. And then how long did he go to Mathura for? Years. You remember? What happened when he went to Mathura? Who attacked Mathura? Who? Jarasandha. How many times did he attack? 17 times. He attacked 17 times. And then he came back the last time and Krishna said, this is too much. He said, I can't keep dealing with this guy. So then Krishna went to Dwarka. And he established Dwarka. And then he stayed in Dwarka for around 96 years or so. For the remainder of his pastime. So he started in Vrindavan, then he went to Mathura, and then he went to Dwarka. But when he left Vrindavan, he said to all of the devotees in Vrindavan, he said, I'll be back in a few days. I'll come back in a few days. But he never returned. If you read the commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he said actually he did return after 2 months. He returned and he wound up the pastimes, and then everyone went to Goloka once again. But externally, because this Vrindavan is happening on like simultaneous planes, or there's like simultaneous dimensions happening, or pastimes happening simultaneously. Because it describes when Uddhava went back to Vrindavan, first of all he saw the Vrindavan where there was sambhog, or union, where Krishna was there. And then he saw the Vrindavan of Vipralamba, or separation, when Krishna had left. So simultaneously, both things were taking place in the Dham, simultaneously. So when Krishna left, according to the pastimes that we have in the Bhagavatam, then he left Vrindavan, he said, I will come back very soon. But he never came back, technically. In the Bhagavatam, it's not recorded that he came back. In the commentaries of the Acharyas and the Briha Bhagavatamrita, it's recorded there was some union again. But in the Bhagavatam, it doesn't say that he actually came back. So why did Krishna not come back? Why didn't he go back? Why didn't he go back to Vrindavan? He went to Mathura and then he went to Dwarka. Why didn't he go back to Vrindavan? Now, Krishna explains himself that he didn't want to upset his family. Because his family had already not had him associated with them for 10 years. The Yadu dynasty. Vasudeva and Devaki and all of the Yadavas. So when he went to Mathura, finally they got to be with him again. And then he went to Dwarka and he was with them again. So even though all the time all he was thinking about was Vrindavan, but he felt that if I go back to Vrindavan, I'll break all of their hearts. So I can't go back to Vrindavan. So I have to stay in Dwarka and Mathura. So then he wrote letters to the residents of Vrindavan. And he said, actually, I'm only thinking of you. And Balaram would criticize Krishna. He said, don't you know what you're doing to the bridge buses? Don't you know what you're doing to Nanda and Yashoda? Don't you know what you're doing to the cowherd boys, to the gopis? And Krishna would say, I know what's happening, but I can't go back. Because otherwise I'll break the heart of all my family members. You know, families in India are very strong, in Vedic culture, it's a very strong bond. So he said, I can't just leave them. It will break their hearts if I go back. So Krishna actually did this to create a dynamic tension within the relationship so that it would increase the love of all of the devotees. So it increases the love of all the bridge buses, increases the love of the Dwarka buses. Because even when he's in Dwarka, if you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he's in Dwarka the whole time, but he's only thinking of Vrindavan. And he wakes up in the morning, and in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita it describes that Krishna wakes up in the morning, one morning, and he doesn't get up. Normally he gets up every morning very early to set an example for us that we should also get up very early, except for a couple of days after Janmashtami when we need to rest a bit, when we try to stay awake in our Bhagavatam class because we're a little bit tired. Everyone's a bit tired, but normally we get up early. That's our system. Krishna gets up early to set the example. But one day in Dwarka, it describes he didn't get up early. So then they were having a conversation outside of his room, and it was being described, Rukmini says, that Krishna, even though he's here with us in Dwarka, actually, and in the night time, when he's asleep, when he's sleeping next to me, in his dreams, he's saying, O Radha, O Lalita, Obishaka. Like that. So then Rukmini was describing to everyone, even though he's with us, actually his mind is not with us. And then Satyabhama, she's very fiery, then she chastises Rukmini and said, what do you know? You know, you're saying that when he's asleep at night time. He said, even when he's awake in the middle of the day, he's sitting next to me, and then he starts daydreaming. He's sitting right with me, and he starts daydreaming. And he says, hey Radhe, hey Lalite, hey Vishaki, like that. And then he realizes all of a sudden that, no, I'm in Dwaka, and he becomes a little embarrassed like that. But, and he even says to Satyabhama one time when he's discussing with her, he actually says to Satyabhama, he says, the only reason I married you, he said, you puffed up, you know, princess. He said, the only reason that I married you is because all of you queens, you remind me of the gopis in Vrindavan. He said, that's the only reason I even married you. Because you just remind me of the gopis. That's the only reason, because I'm feeling separation from them. So he puts everyone in Dwaka in their place in some of his pastimes. He says, actually, Vrindavan is my life and soul. So here we hear about the entrance of Krishna into Dwaka. The Krishna is entering into Dwaka and all of the residents are coming out to receive him. Now it says, Prabhupada describes in the purport, that Krishna in his pastimes, he is Atmarama. So Atmarama means
self-satisfied.
Right? Krishna is known as Atmarama, self-satisfied. But actually, when Krishna is described as being Atmarama, it is not Krishna, it is Paramatma who is being described. Paramatma is actually Atmarama. The super soul is self-satisfied. He is Atmarama. But you don't see in Krishna's pastimes that he's Atmarama. If he's Atmarama, then why does he have so many gopis? If he's Atmarama, then why does he have so many cowherd boyfriends? Right? If he's self-satisfied, then why does he have so many devotees continuously around him? Right? Because Krishna, he wants the association of the devotees continuously. He only wants to be with the devotees. Right? And especially of all the devotees, he wants to be with the gopis. And of all of the gopis, he wants to be with Srimati Radharani, whose birthday is 23rd of September. Now, why is there such a big gap this year? Right? I've been a devotee for a number of years. I've never ever seen a gap like this. Usually, Radhashtami is not long after Janmashtami. What happened this year? Such a big gap between Janmashtami and Radhashtami. So what is happening? It's like the 6 weeks. What's happening? Purushottam Mas. So there's a very special month which is beginning on, is it Saturday that it begins or is it Friday?
Thursday.
We are not in India. Is it, what day is it in Melbourne? Is Saturday that it begins? It begins on Saturday. Okay, so it's Friday or Saturday. We have to check the calendar. So this month is extremely powerful for bhakti. It happens every, because our calendar, we have a lunar calendar and a solar calendar, and because they go out of sync, in order to bring the calendar back into sync, every 3 years or so, they put an extra month in there, which is called Purushottam Mas. Now, if you read the glories of Purushottam Mas, this particular month, it is said that Purushottam Mas is as powerful as Kartik Mas, which is coming up very soon. So, right in the middle of Chaturmasya, because now is Chaturmasya, right? In the heavenly planets for 4 months, the demigods are sleeping at the moment. So this is a very auspicious, powerful time. Many sadhus, many saints in India, in Vrindavan and Mayapur in different places, they're doing austerities for 4 months to increase their bhakti. Aindra Prabhu used to do very strict Chaturmasya every year for 4 months. You know, the men don't shave. They chant extra rounds, they eat very simply, they take vows like that. In order to do as a offering of pleasure to Krishna, to increase their bhakti, they increase their hearing and chanting. So, in these 4 months, because Prabhupada understands that we're not so qualified, he just asks us to do a few things. Right, the first month we're not allowed to have? Prabhupada only asked us to do a few things we can't even remember. Very good. Spinach. We're not supposed to have spinach, right? For 1 month, right? Now we're in the second month. What are we not supposed to be having now? Yogurt. Very good. Then in the third month, what are we not supposed to have? Very good. And then the fourth month? Yeah, poppadoms. Basically. Very dull. For us, it mainly means poppadoms. Like that. Yeah? Big austerity. Yeah? You can't have any poppadoms for 1 month. No? Can you do it? Can you? The only one I find difficult is milk. The others I don't find so difficult. You know, spinach or yogurt or poppadoms, that's not such a big deal. But but Prabhupada has asked us just to follow these simple things, austerities. But the point is, in Chaturmasya, we're meant to be increasing our bhakti. We're meant to be increasing our... And especially in the final month, which is the Kartik Mas, we're meant to completely dedicate ourselves to Krishna. A very powerful month. And we must increase our bhakti. We must increase our hearing and chanting during that month and our devotional activities. So, Purushottam Mas is said in the scriptures to be as powerful as Kartik Mas. So that's coming up. It begins this Friday or Saturday. So devotees, for 1 month, you will feel different in that month. If you observe some bhakti or some devotion in that month, you will feel different. Just like Giriraj Maharaj, he explained a number of years ago, he was talking about the glories of Kartik. He says, just like, say, if you go to Myers and they have a... what's the sale they have on Boxing Day? The Boxing Day sale. Yeah, it's called the Boxing Day sale. So on that day, right, everyone's so foolish in the Western world that they spend all their money before Christmas, right, to buy all the gifts and everything at the stores. And they put the prices up. But everyone, because they get in this frenzy that we have to buy Christmas presents, they spend so much money. And then foolishly they don't understand that actually on Boxing Day, they reduce everything by 50%. Right? So you can get all the same things, but you can get it much cheaper. So actually, if you're intelligent, you should go shopping on Boxing Day for your Christmas presents. But in the Western world, they've got them confused. So, but he was giving the description that just like Kartik, when it comes, it's like Krishna is having a sale. You can get the same thing that you can normally get, but you can get it much more freely, much cheaper, even practically for no price at all. So Kartik Mas is so powerful that you can make so much advancement because the time is so auspicious. It says that that Kartik month, it is governed by Srimati Radharani herself. So any devotion you do, you get thousands of times more benefit. And it says the Purushottam Mas, you get the same benefit as Kartik. Anything you do, you will get thousands of times more benefit. So on Friday or Saturday, whichever day it begins, then we should increase our bhakti. We should try to chant better rounds, even chant extra rounds if we can. Do more devotional activities, do more deity worship, do more spiritual activity, and engage us. And you will feel so much benefit. You'll feel like you'll be given so much more, so much reciprocation. I felt in previous Purushottam Masas, when they've happened previously, sometimes I felt so much like reciprocation. Everything becomes so much easier. Right? And you can make so much more advancement so much more quickly. You get so much more benefit. So you should take advantage of this Purushottam Mas. So in Radhakund, one of our ISKCON sannyasis, Mahanidhi Swami, he's living there. For the whole month of Kartik, he's going to be giving lectures on the Rasa Leela. All the commentary on the Rasa Leela, which is given by the previous acharyas, he's going to speak for 1 month on Rasa Leela. I don't know for how many hours a day, but for many, many hours a day. So this is the way to observe Kartik Mas, to increase our hearing, to increase our chanting. And Purushottam Mas, we should also take advantage of doing like this. So we see here that Krishna is being described in the purport as Atmarama. But actually we don't see Krishna in his pastimes as actually self-satisfied. Right? He's always thinking, how can I get the association of my devotees? He always wants to be with his devotees. So he's never self-satisfied, you can say. In terms of being Atmaram, you can say the Supersoul is like that. That's a correct description of the Supersoul. Of course, we say Krishna is Atmaram, but factually speaking, if he's Atmaram, why doesn't he just stay in Vrindavan by himself all the time? Why doesn't he just stand on the lotus flower all the time in the middle of an ocean? Yeah. Actually, if you see a picture of Krishna by himself, Prabhupada said, if you see a picture of Krishna by himself, that is not Krishna. Yeah? Krishna must have devotees with him. You see in all the pictures, there are devotees with him. Right? If he's by himself, Prabhupada said, that's not Krishna. He's always with the devotees. He's only designed to be with his devotees as much as possible. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Words to that effect. Yeah, he did speak to her quite heavily. Because Satyabhama is very heavy. And Krishna, he put her in a place. He said something to that effect. He just said, you know, you foolish princess or something like that. You foolish daughter of Satyajit, I think your father is. He said, you foolish daughter of Satyajit. He said, you don't understand. I only married all of you because you remind me of the gopis. He said, I don't have any... He almost said that to me. He said, I'm actually not attached to you. He said, I'm actually attached to the gopis, but I just married you because you remind me of them. Because she's always Bhama. Bhama means contrary. She's always very fiery towards Krishna. Krishna usually just enjoys the lila. But in this particular case, he just spoke to her like that. Any other question? Comment? About what? Something more. It just says that you should increase your devotional service, that's all. I don't know the story. Maybe there is a story, I don't know the story. As far as I know, they add the month. They add the month each year so that we will put the calendar back into place. And it says it's very powerful, that particular month. For bhakti, for spiritual activities. It's very potent. That's as much as I know about the actual. Any other question? Comment? Srila Prabhupada ki.